John chapter 11, we want to take a look here at verse 25 and 26 this morning. You pray that the Lord will bless us together, that we might worship the Lord in His Word here this morning. John chapter 11, verse number 25, the Scripture says, "And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your blessings, Lord, for your people, and Lord, the blessing of conviction that you've given us to assemble ourselves together to worship you this day. Help us that we would, Father. We thank you for the way you've blessed already. And Lord, for your word, for the singing, for the praying unto you, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to that all things of the cares of life and those things that beset our hearts and minds, Father, you just put those aside. You'd draw them aside, Lord. Take those things away from us at this time that we might focus upon you, your word, and the worship of you. We thank you for fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you for fellowship with you. And Lord, again, we thank you for this day, this time that you've made, that we can meet together to worship our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in it, that we might be pleasing unto you and we might praise the name of our Savior. Father, for those that are here and not saved, Father, that they might hear the call. Lord, that you would give that call, and Lord, work with your Spirit and move, Father, that they might hear the call of life. Lord, that you'd save them, and Lord, just to make them your own as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here in John 11, verse number 25, Jesus is speaking to Martha, and he says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." He is, okay? Not some system, not some book, not some philosophy of man, but Jesus is the resurrection. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead," you hear those words? "He that believeth in me, though he were dead," how can that be? We'll look at that and consider that in a bit. "Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." A question to each and every one of us. Believeth thou this? Do you believe that? I do. I do. I believe that. I want to take a look over here quickly. John, the apostle, John the Revelator, as we refer to him in Revelation chapter 1. Take a look at Jesus speaking over here, appearing to John in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Just a little bit of fast forwarding to the time to the time that the Lord appeared to John there on the Isle of Patmos and gave him the revelation of himself. This is the one that's speaking there, talking to Martha. This is our Lord and Savior speaking to John. This is our Lord and Savior speaking now. In verse number 18 of Revelation 1, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Hear that? He lives again. He was dead, but he now lives. "I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." And the Lord Jesus Christ says, amen. He's alive forevermore. Brother Bobby read about the Lord facing the cross there and those things in Gethsemane. The Lord, praise God, he did fulfill those things. He went to the cross and he gave his life, gave his soul, gave his body, gave his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price for his people's sins, and he was buried. But 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the grave, didn't he? He was brought back. He rose again. He was resurrected. He says, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. He's the one. In chapter 2, verse 8, as he speaks here to the church at Smyrna, listen to what he says. Jesus Christ, our Savior, speaks these things to us now, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Our Savior is alive. There's an empty tomb, or the remnants of an empty tomb. Maybe that stuff's all caved up and closed up now, but our Savior is not there. There's no remaining dust from his bones and from his flesh. He rose from the dead. And here during the time of his ministry in John chapter 11, we see the Lord, he's going to He's going to put the punch. He's going to put the power and make it proclaim it and declare it, that his disciples would know it of a greater assurity that he is the resurrection. The call of the resurrection. The call of the resurrection is what we want to take a look at this morning. Here in John 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So we've got these siblings, a man and two sisters, and they're there. They live in Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem. It was that Mary, verse 2, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. I think she loved the Lord, don't you? Wiped his feet with her hair. She counted it a privilege and a blessing to put that ointment and to wash the Lord's feet and wipe his feet off with her hair. She loved him. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, his sisters sent unto the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord made his love known to them, didn't he? And the Lazarus is sick, and he's very ill, and they send unto the Lord, and he said, he who you love is sick here in Bethany. When Jesus heard that, he said, he's not there. He's in a place away. He says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He's not concerned, is he? He knows the purpose that this thing is going to happen. Sickness is not unto death. Oh, wait a minute. We kind of scratch our... You know the account, don't you? Lazarus does die, does he not? Yeah, he dies. He doesn't go comatose. He doesn't swoon. He doesn't faint. He dies. He dies. But the Lord said, this isn't unto death, because he knows what he's doing. He's in control then. He's in control now. He lives forevermore. He said, this is for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified by it. So this is for the glory of God, the Father, if you will, and for the glory of the Son. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Loved them very much. Loves them like he loves you this morning if you're here and saved. Aren't you glad the Lord loves you? I'm glad the Lord loves me. I rejoice in that love. I need that love. That love is life. That love is a blessing. Without that love, where would I be? And the Lord loves them. He loves his people. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Got the word, got the news. Just went ahead and stayed there two more days. The apostles aren't much worrying about it, are they? The disciples, they're not. The Lord said already, he said, this sickness isn't unto death. That's what they heard. Verse 7, then after that, saith he to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee down there in Judea, and thou goest, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he. He says, let's go down to Judea. They say, wait a minute, they're looking to kill you down there. You want to go down to Judea? The Lord says, it's time to work. It's daytime. Daytime is the time to work. I've got an appointment. I've got something I need to go do. It is essential that I go there. It is necessary that I go there. Take a look over here in Proverbs chapter 22. It caused me to think of these passages here. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say, well, yeah, you guys are right. They're seeking to kill me down there. Better not go. No, it's time to go do what the Father had appointed for him to do. This thing with Lazarus is going to be to the glory of the Father. It's going to be the glory of the Son. And it's time to go down to Judea. Think about this. When it's daylight, it's time to work. Child of God, listen. Proverbs 22, verse number 13. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The one that don't want to get up and do anything says, well, there's things going on. A lot of danger out there. A lot of things there that might get us. But if the Lord has said, go and work, go work. Go work. Work, work, work till the Lord comes back. That's what we need to do. A slothful man makes an excuse. When I'm lazy, when I don't want to do what the Lord wants me to do and tells me to do, I'll make an excuse. Not a reason, but an excuse. They say, Lord, they're wanting to kill you down there in Judea. Well, you know, you're right. No, he says, I've got to go do what I've got to do. And that's what we need to do. The Lord's commanded it. The Lord has commanded us to serve him, to follow him, to obey him. And he doesn't give qualifiers, does he? He says, do it. Do it. And we as his children need to do so. Over here in Proverbs 26, verse number 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Always got a reason. Living in fear, worried about danger. Yeah, there are things that we certainly need to be aware of and such as that. But if the Lord has commanded us to go, we need to go. We need to serve him. The Lord's given us something to do. We need to do it. The Lord speaks to our heart. He speaks to our heart individually as his children. We need to obey him in that and not gainsay, not doubt in it. The Lord tells us to do something as a church. We need to believe him and not doubt, not make an excuse, but do it. Do it, do it. They said, Lord, they're looking to kill you in Judea. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I thought of this verse too. Take a look over here. In Ecclesiastes 11, Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. Looks like my storm come up. Won't put it in the ground. Hey, if it's time to put it in the ground, put it in the ground. It's time to work, work. He that observeth the clouds, what's it say? He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Well, it looks like it might rain. No, when it's time to go, go. When it's time to do, do. When it's time to obey the example of our Lord and Savior, even if there was the threat of death, go and obey him. Remember, he's the resurrection. He's the resurrection. In verse number 11 of chapter John 11, the scripture says, these things saith he, and after that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know what? Isn't that a blessing? That the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, considers the death of this body, which we count as a very, very serious thing. We go to great pains to keep this body feeling good and alive, don't we? Well, life's in us. The Lord's put life in us. But you know what? Even the death of this body that we consider about, we're concerned about, maybe even we worry about, the Lord says even the death of this body, to him, he regards it as sleep. Isn't that great? That's a manifestation of the Lord's power. That's a manifestation and a telling forth of the Lord's ability. Something that you and I in our flesh, in our humanity, regard as something very, very, very serious, very, very difficult, impossible for us. The scripture says, I believe in Ecclesiastes, it says when it comes time to die, there's no hanging on. Grabbing on and hanging on to life. Because when it's time to die, death is coming. And it's real and it's there, but it comes. And you know what? There's no getting out of that war. There's no bringing up the troops to hold back when death comes. I mean, when it comes, it's serious and it's real to us. But the Lord Jesus Christ said it's sleep. To him, it's sleep. He has power. He has power in that he was dead and rose from the grave. He is alive evermore. He has risen again. He says plainly, Lazarus isn't sleeping to take a nap. He isn't had some times with some insomnia and now he's getting good rest at night. Lazarus is dead. That you may understand, I'm telling you, Lazarus is dead. Verse number 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Wait a minute, he's dead. And the Lord says, I'm glad I wasn't there. What kind of craziness is he talking about? I'm glad that it wasn't there. This is going to be a help and a blessing and a witness to you. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Listen, this is given to us in the Scriptures. The Lord said for the disciples there, this is given to us that we might believe. Brother Jim, I already believe. Yeah, we need to believe more. We need to keep on believing in our Lord and Savior. He is the resurrection. He has the call of the resurrection. He gives the call of the resurrection, and there is none other that can do so. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So they load up and go. Then said Thomas, which was called Didymus, listen to what they're thinking, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Certain death is coming. You know, I don't need to borrow trouble. And I tell you what, it's very natural and just in me to borrow trouble. I'm that way. I'm cut that way. Well, what about this? Well, I doubt about that. And Thomas said, well, let's just go ahead and go with him and die. He wasn't listening to the Lord completely, was he? He wasn't listening. He didn't understand what the Lord said. Let's go ahead and we'll go on with him and die. And we hang a pile of doubt on Thomas, but that next week he did come back, didn't he? Right. The first Sunday, he wasn't there, and he missed out on seeing the Lord. But then when he saw him that second Sunday, well, he was solid after that, wasn't he? He was. And so if I'd have been there, I'd have done the same thing. Thomas says, well, let's go die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Boy, this is worse than what I thought. Was the Lord thinking that? No, not at all. No, laying 4 days, man, they'd got Lazarus prepared. They got him all went for burial, and they got him in that grave. They may have had some spices. They may have had some things that they could do to the body, but if it was warmer weather or whatever, just they needed to get him in the grave quick. That way, just that way. Don't want to be morbid or anything, but it's just that way. He'd been in there 4 days. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about a mile and a half. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They had compassion on them. They grieved with them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Oh, let us not doubt. Let us not put the Lord in a box. Amen? In my doubt, I can put my Lord in a box, and he doesn't belong in any box because he is all powerful. With men, everything's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Got to remember that. He says, listen to what her reaction is. Then said Martha, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She believed that he could have kept him from dying. She no doubt maybe had even witnessed his healing. But now it's too late. Oh, I don't need to constrain the Lord, do I? Don't need to constrain him. We look at situations in our lives and maybe our church situations, things that befall us or in our families or in our homes or work or whatever. We say, it's impossible. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. That one there, they're too far gone. There's no way they can be saved. Listen, while there's life in the Lord, there's hope of salvation in there. There is. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with him. If you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. What kind of shows a glimmer of thinking there? But let's read on. Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's a hope that we have. That is the hope that we have. We will live forever with the Lord. We will live in a body with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will have a body like unto his glorious body, without sin, without baggage, without hang-ups, without an old corrupt mind. We'll be free. Free indeed at last. Martha knew that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know I know that he will do so. She does not see what the Lord's going to do, does she? She doesn't see the statement that he's going to make to let them know that not in a coming day, but now, Jesus is the resurrection. It is Jesus that even now, at this time, he gives the call to resurrection. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. It's in me. It's not in a coming time, although the Lord will do some things. We'll read about that. But it's in him now. He's got it now. He doesn't need to be refined more. He doesn't need to be improved more. He doesn't need some things added to him. But even there in his humanity, Jesus is, was, always has been, and will be the resurrection. He that is him. We read those things in Revelation. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me now, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How can that be? Being dead, believing in the Lord, it's by spiritual life, isn't it? See, our spiritual life, the new man, you know what the new man is? The new man doesn't think bad thoughts. The new man has fellowship with the Lord. The old man, he's the opposite. He's wicked. He hates God still. He thinks old stuff. That's the reason he's got to be put to death. He's got to be mortified. But the new man, the body dies. New man says, out of here. Amen. The new man says, the body dies. The new man says, present with the Lord. Amen. See that? See what I'm saying? The new man rejoices in the death of the body because it's the body that makes the warfare. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, the resurrection of the Lord, the life that is in the Lord. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. I think speaking of the body, but alive spiritually in Christ. Dead body, but still believing in the Lord. Jesus Christ, dead in the grave, but able to bring his life back again. Now there's life, amen? There's power, there's blessing from the Lord indeed. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, he's talking about the new man, alive forevermore. I don't know how to be. I've never gone through it. But for the child of God that's been saved, yeah, these old eyes, they'll close in death. But you know what? I think when these old eyes, or this old body, and however the Lord causes our life of this body to cease, but for the child of God, we'll just awake unto brightness, awake unto the glory of the Lord. It'll be a short trip. It'll be a short trip indeed. The angels come to get us and take us on to our Lord. Life eternal. You know what? If you're saved, you have that now. Have that hope now, that promise now. This old body may suffer some, may suffer as we would look on from a physical standpoint, suffer terribly. But on the other side, it will have been as an instant, as just a short time, as a faded memory fading faster and faster. Because Jesus is the resurrection, and he gives the call to resurrection. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. That's what the saved believe. She's saved. That's what we believe. We know he's the Messiah. We know he's our Savior. We know that he came and lived and is sent by God and died for us. We know that. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come. Isn't that a good reference to the Lord? The Master. Do you call him the Master? He's my Master. He's my Lord. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town. He was out on the outskirts. but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. So they're concerned about her. They will go there to support her and to console her and to weep with her. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, putting the Lord in a box. You know, we can't blame her. It's not ours to blame her or to rail on her or ridicule her. I do the same thing. You know what? But I'll have more joy, I'll have more blessing if I don't. If I don't doubt the Lord. She says, she came to that place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She believed that he could keep him from dying. But now it's done. Death is final. There's no undoing of death, right? Well, for man, that's the case. But the Lord Jesus Christ is on the scene. And everything's different when he's on the scene. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Wait a minute. We know why he came. He knew why he came. He declared it already. Why was he troubled? I believe he was troubled not over things concerning Lazarus, but I think he was grieved over things concerning those that remain. The lack of trust in him. The lack of faith in him. Having seen and been with the Lord, still did not really totally completely grasp that he is Emmanuel. Right? God with us. We're getting to get a hold of that. We've got God with us. Inside. You don't pick up the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you don't pick up the Lord Jesus Christ when you come through the back doors or the front doors of the church house to worship. He's in us always. When he came in to stay. Amen. He groaned in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? Verse 34, at the latter part, they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Why? Why did he weep? In verse 4, he said, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In verse 11, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Lazarus is dead, verse 14. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. That's what the Lord, he knew that all. He didn't weep because he didn't have any ability or any loss concerning Lazarus. I believe that he wept because of a lack of faith and of the doubt that pervaded his children there. They yet did not fully understand who Jesus is. Later on in this book, think about it. Thomas and Philip, right? I think it's Philip. Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. See, that's telling, isn't it? And he says, Philip, haven't I been so long with you that you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? You see what I'm saying? And praise God, he works with us, doesn't he? He works with us. He's working with them. Wherever you laid him, the Lord weeps, I believe, because of their doubt. Then said the Jews, verse 36, behold how he loved him. This is one of those things that we've got to be careful in the scripture. Who is quoted, I don't believe, is telling the truth. It's already been stated that the Lord loves Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It's already been stated about what the Lord purposed to do. And a statement here is recorded of those looking on, but the Jews didn't estimate it right, did they? I don't believe so. Rather, I believe Behold, how he is grieved and troubled in spirit over the doubt even of his children. Some of them said, could not this man which had opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Well, the answer is yes, but he's got greater power than that. They have doubt. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, he hears those words. Now, don't you understand? You need to understand who I am. And this event is to tell and to show more of who he is. That's the purpose of it. The comment, the questioning, the doubt of these that are here is an evident token that this needs to be done to reveal and show unto them, to manifest unto them who Jesus is. That he is God. That he is the resurrection. Jesus there, verse 38, Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, his sister, of him that was dead, said, great, sounds good. I know what you're going to do. It didn't even cross her mind, did it? It's such a rebuke to us, such a rebuke to me, when the Lord answers and works in a thing, and I doubted. And then so simply, the Lord works it out, doesn't he? And I said, I would have never thought of that. Right, that's it. I would have never thought of that. But the Lord, see, our answer is in the Lord. He's the end of all things. He's the beginning and he is the end. Take you away the stone. Martha didn't say, okay, good, I know what he's going to do. Lord, by this time he stinketh. Why do we want to expose this and drag all this up? For he'd been dead 4 days. Lord, he's stinking by now. He's decaying by now. Leave well enough alone. He'll raise at that last day. Jesus saying to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe now, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I think of when the Lord told Peter, I've prayed for thee. isn't it great to have the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for us even this moment? Amen. Tell you what, there's no greater prayer to be prayed than that of our Savior for us. His petition on behalf of me, on behalf of you, before the Father. Oh, what a great and glorious thing. And no matter what we go through and what we experience, what comes our way, that Jesus is there making intercession for his children. That's a blessing, isn't it? That is a blessing. I thank thee that thou hast heard me and knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. I've said this out loud, that it might be manifest, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Once again, that it might be known even deeper and in a greater way that he is from God, from the Father, and that he is God. Here we have it, verse 43, the call to resurrection. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. One day, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come in the clouds and I'm raptured out of here, or you're raptured out of here, one day we'll hear that call. We'll hear that call, and oh, it'll be specific, won't it? It'll be specific. We'll look at that. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, could do nothing but, because he was alive. He was dead, and now he's alive again. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Oh, may we not be bound with doubt in our Lord. Amen. Lazarus was alive, but he was bound up with those grave clothes. He couldn't do much but get up and move around and walk out of there, I guess. May we not be bound with doubt, with the doctrine and teaching and the way of the world. May we have faith in our Lord, and may we believe more in him. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. John says, I write these things in his epistle In the first John, he said, I write these things to you that believe that you would keep on believing. Keep on believing in the Lord. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I want us to read over here in John chapter 5 quickly. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the resurrection. And even though one would be dead, he'll live again. Even though we that have Him, sinners that are saved by Him, will never die again. That's what he said over there. Look here quickly in John chapter 5. The Lord has healed this man at the pool of Bethesda. And they've challenged him about healing on the Sabbath day again. And he tells here about his work. And listen, we just want to see about the call to resurrection by the Lord. In John chapter 5, verse 17, but Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto and I work. He's not a freelancer. But he's doing the will of the Father. That's an example to us that we need to do the will of the Lord Jesus and do the will of the Father. We are not freelancers. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, which he is there with God. He is in the Trinity. He is God Almighty himself. Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, it's very important, it's truly, truly, you cannot do without this. This is necessary information. I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever that he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He does what he has received of the Father. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. He said, from what I'm telling you right now, and this answer he's given to the Jews, and his disciples are standing by and hearing, he said, there's more coming that'll make your jaw drop open. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Amen. You know what, sinner? You need the Lord. Bottom line. Bottom line, nothing else matters. You need the Lord, period. Because He's the one that has life. Like the Father gives life, so does the Son. Verse number 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. That's a sideline that we see in the consideration of our message this morning. But He is the judge, the Savior is the judge, that all should honor the Son even as they ought to honor the Father. And that was the thing with the Jews. They said they honored God Almighty. They honored the Father, but they didn't honor His Son. But see, He'll be the very one that sinners that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected the salvation of the Lord, rejected the word of the Lord, sinners without Christ will stand before Christ in judgment in that last day. Be warned, committed all judgment of the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. The Father has sent the Son, and you better receive him. Ordained by God, that he be the one, that he is the one in all things. Verse number 24, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Sinner, do you hear him? He spoke about what the Father has done in giving judgment unto him. And he says here, first, speaking of salvation, he says that the hour is at hand when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Do you hear his call? You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one. You have nothing to offer God. Repent of your sins and believe in Him. Believe in Him. For as the Father, verse 26, hath life in himself, so have given unto the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because he's the Savior, he's going to be the judge and is the judge. Because he's the Son of God sent by the Father to be a man, to be the Savior, because he's the Son of Man, he is the man that will fulfill all things that the Father has commanded, and all men will give an answer to him. One of two ways. You either have the judge, the Savior, as sacrifice for your sins and your soul and what he's done, or you'll give account before him of your works with nothing to say. Guilty before him. The Savior is the judge. Let's read on. Marvel not at this, verse 28, for the hour is coming in the which, he talked about an hour that is at hand, but there's an hour coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that are saved, those that are good in Christ, those that have believed and obeyed and heard and received the call. Do you hear him? Sinner, do you hear him? This is the resurrection that is the blessing. This is the resurrection that one needs. And shall come forth, they that have done good in the resurrection of life. Not good works before God, but good from the standpoint of obeying the Lord, receiving him, believing in him, trusting in him, his way, his salvation, his Savior, and not of your own. This isn't teaching a work salvation. But those that have obeyed, if you will, under the resurrection of life, they'll hear the call. Lazarus, come forth. They'll hear the call. And the Lord will call. And we'll hear, just like the saints at the rapture, we'll hear the trump, the voice of the archangel, and the shout. Amen? Those that are saved, those that are in Christ, will sleep. But they'll hear the call of the Lord and be raised to life eternal. They'll be raised, and our spirit and our souls and our bodies, that new body will be put together under the glory and praise of God. And they that have done evil, they that have not been obedient, under the resurrection of damnation, out of the oceans, out of space, out of the grave. Sinners, come forth. Come forth to judgment, because Jesus gives the call to resurrection. I can of my own self, verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Back over in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? You need to believe it. I believe it. Lord, save my soul. I believe it. I know it's so. Oh, sinner, hear the call of the Lord. Child of God, don't put our Lord, our great God and King in a box. All things are possible with him. Sinner, hear the call of the Lord. And know that there will be a call to resurrection, and Jesus will give that call.